So why do we make space for creative expression in our church? Why do we think sharing about that, participating in that, has value? Why do we encourage our body to participate that around seasons in the church like Advent, Easter? These are some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning. Creativity. How do we meet with God, worship God, love God through our creativity? And what does our creativity do? What is it forming in us? How does God meet with us and change us? So when we talk about creativity, we either tend to identify as a creative person or not identify as a creative person. Have you ever said that? I'm creative or I'm not really creative, right? But the thing is that creativity is wired into every one of us. If we think about the Bible, we know about God as the creator, and we are made in the image of God. So if God is the creator, just naturally, that is in us somewhere, right? It might be hidden a little bit, but it's in us. It's birthed in us. But I want to look at it even in a different angle. In Matthew, the Jewish leaders came to Jesus and they said, "What's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind." So I want us to consider, what does it mean to love God with all of our mind? To worship with all of our mind. In Greek, the word for mind is dianoia, which means several things. It means mind, it means our thought, it means our understanding, but it also means with our imagination. It suggests worshiping God with a full-orbed reasoning or full-breath reasoning. That's how we're going to worship God. And this made me think about the anatomy of our brain. So science says that we have a left brain and a right brain, or a left hemisphere and a right hemisphere, or a left mode and a right mode, whatever language you want to use. But it's two parts that work together to make a whole. And each side of the brain functions very differently. The left side is very logical and rational, linear, thinks about details. It looks for answers. It looks for certainty. The right brain is more creative, more experiential, more emotional, more imaginative. The right brain can see the big picture and hold abstract thought, hold paradox, hold mystery. So one part is not better than the other. Both are meant to work together. In fact, God designed us this way, to have both parts, to be whole-brained worshipers and whole-minded thinkers. But in our culture, our left brain is championed. That happens in our education, how we teach, how we value accomplishments and achievements, how we grade intelligence. It's usually all left brain-based. And this even happens in our church. Our North American church is quite left brain oriented. We think about doctrine, theology, belief, right? Apologetics. It's all kind of left brain thinking. But in highlighting just the left brain over the right brain, we are missing an aspect of worshiping God, of encountering God. Because it's in the right brain that we are more playful, that we engage relationally, emotionally, that there's feelings, we can see big picture, we can hold mystery and paradox and tension. And in this season of life, don't we need to hold those things, right? We need to re-engage this right side of us. So when Jesus calls us to love him with our whole mind, I think he's calling us beyond just logical, rational, linear faith statements, to love God with our whole mind, with our right mind too. Creative, relational, imaginative encounters with God. So you might ask, why are we going to talk about this today? Why is this pivotal today in our church life, in our season? Well, I think it's pivotal all the time, and it's like a joyful topic for me. But I also know that as I'm walking through my own therapy for my own trauma that I've experienced in the last season, I'm learning more and more that trauma is stored in the right side of our brain, and we often don't have language to understand it, right? Like something's happened to it and we feel it. We feel it in our gut and we feel it in our heart and we feel it in our chest, but we don't have the language. So when we can use the right brain experience more often, we can access something that we can't through just words. I've also read and I've experienced that in anxious times, our ability to imagine just shuts down. We kind of just, yeah, we shut down. We go on to autopilot. So returning to imaginative, creative things is an invitation to awaken something in us that is hopeful, right? You're hoping for something beyond what we know at the moment. And also, we're going to move from here into a sermon series that talks about the questions that, like, often that the people would bring questions to Jesus, and then Jesus would give a question back. So there's this invitation to reflect and explore, and creativity is a wonderful means and method to do that. So this is going to kind of equip us for our next sermon series also. So this morning, we're going to shift and talk about the right side of the brain, to learn how to love God through our creativity, to worship God through our creativity, and to allow God to speak to us when we are being creative. So I'm going to start with a church history lesson because I just love things like this. So you're going to love it too because I'm going to have pictures. So we're going to look at art throughout church history. I'm going to start us way back in the Bible in Genesis 2, and there's this beautiful story about Adam naming creation. And I think it's pretty amazing that God made all of these amazing things, but then God invites Adam into this act of holding each item, each animal, each being, and looking at them and noticing them and finding wonder in them and then naming them. That's like a very creative being. So right from the beginning, God was inviting people into this creative process. In Exodus 31, we read a story about Bezalel. Bezalel is one of the fine artists. He created the Ark of the Covenant, the golden cherubim, the sacred elements of the tabernacle. And I'm not sure if you know, but Bezalel is the very first person who was ever mentioned to have been to have received the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't a king, it wasn't a ruler, it wasn't a prophet, it wasn't a priest, it wasn't a preacher. It was an artist who is gifted with the first divine partnership with God. He was taking part in an important work, creating space that would serve to invite God's people into worship. So God saw this as valuable and gifted Bezalel with the Holy Spirit. In 1 Chronicles, we read about the Levites, and the Levites were one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they were a tribe that was set apart to care for the temple, to care for the building, the sacred elements, to teach the law, but also their main role was as musicians, to invite people, use their creative gifts to call people into worship. In the verse that's mentioned there, it talks about how that was their job day and night, to call people to worship through their music. And God actually set up other requirements that other people would support them financially and give them food financially because that was such a valuable thing for the temple. Well, for the people. We also see that music is used in many other ways. We remember the story of David playing the harp for King Saul. Creative music pulled people out of despairing thoughts into places of refuge and peace. In 1 Kings, we can read the story of Solomon's palace, which was full of precision, artistic grandeur, extravagance. It was so grand that people from far and wide came to experience the beauty and the God behind it all. We read about Queen Sheba, who came to visit. And seeing the temple and seeing the grandeur and seeing the beauty evoked a response of worship in her. So God also portrays himself as an artist. Right from the very beginning, God is a creator, forming, shaping, creating, lifting the dust from the earth and forming it into people. Like he's just present. We see this again in Jeremiah 18. Yahweh is like a potter. This language of crafting, of intimate connection with the clay, it demonstrates God's intimate care, presence, patience, forming something beautiful in it. So this artistic language is how God shows himself to us too. We also see Jesus, he's a carpenter under his dad Joseph. So he spent his life in that trade, also learning about creativity. Jesus is an artisan, a contractor, a handyman. That's part of who he was. So these are just a few of the biblical demonstrations of God's value of art. God sees it as valuable for calling people into worship, for encountering the holy and extravagant and abundant love and grace and beauty and mercy of God. And God even uses the act of creation to describe himself, to show us his intentional patient care in working with creation. So we can see in the early church, there wasn't scripture like how we know it. It wasn't on the Bible. So the way people knew the stories of the Bible was through art. So these are some of the very first paintings from the Roman catacombs in around the 200 AD, 2nd and 3rd century. Just curious if you can tell what any of these are. Can you see the stories? So the top left one, what's your guess? Jonah. Yeah, it's the whale spitting out Jonah. The top right, all those people, the Last Supper. The bottom left, it's the Good Shepherd. God is the Good Shepherd. I really like the middle one. Can you guess what that one is? That's Noah's Ark. It's so little, but that was their story, their depiction of Noah's Ark. And then the one on the bottom right there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. So there wasn't a Bible to pass on the message and the story, so they passed it on through art, and the story was alive. It was an oral and a visual tradition, the early church. And also the early church was very persecuted, so they could not just proclaim this in the streets, right? So it was kind of like hidden art. But once Constantine came and the Christianity became the religion of the nation, things started to change. There was now money to put towards art. So this is a mosaic. Let's see, mosaic from the 5th century. And you can just see like the development. But once again, art was still depicted through pictures. The Bible was given through pictures. The story of scripture was given through pictures. So this is a mosaic of the Good Shepherd in the 5th century. And we can also see this tradition happening. This is some beautiful stained glass that we begin to develop, which once again was all the pictures of the stories of the Bible. We can also see the creativity happening in the architecture itself. These are grand buildings that would point heavenward. And the hope would be to take people out of their dreary everyday and bring him to a place where they are forced to look up and remember the extravagance and wonder of God. That's what these buildings do, right? They bring you into this encounter with God. So what I am inspired by this picture is like this is just so beyond our architecture of today. These are like 400 and 500 year projects, like a deep commitment to beauty that goes beyond generations. Like just knowing that your piece is just one little piece, right? We're just offering this. But it's a commitment to call people to worship through the art. So another form of imagery in art is icons in the Orthodox Church. So the Orthodox Church has icons for all the different all the different parts of the church. So this is the resurrection icon. So it's Jesus standing on the gates of hell, breaking them, and he's reaching into the grave of Adam and Eve and pulling them up to resurrection with him. So these are just, the icons show the story of what people believe the resurrection was. It was breaking the power of hell and pulling people out of it. That's the power of the story. So for the first 1,400 years of the church, from Jesus on, art was so vital and part of worship. And around the 1500s, reformers began to believe that art was becoming an idol. And they started to become fearful of it. And so there was a shift, and they began burning a lot of the art and wrecking a lot of the art, destroying it, and shifting to a focus on scripture, sola scriptura. And part of this was made accessible and available also because this was the same time as the invention of the printing press. So for 1,500 years, people could not have their own scripture, and then suddenly they could. and they could have it in their language, and they could have it in their home. And so there became this shift that people focused on the Word of God, which is beautiful and important and life-giving to have your own copy of the Word of God. But the sad part is that all the history and the richness and the depth of the art was just thrown out, right? And lots of churches just banished it. It's just like clean aesthetics everywhere. So in this 21st century, we're on a journey of remembering and of bringing our life, our left brain and our right brain together and worshiping and encountering God with both. So personally, I've been on this journey with art for about 6 years. My youngest child had colic for 10 months straight, just screamed around the clock and exhausted me, and it was crazy. But I just held her in her room for hours and hours. And as I held her, I kept seeing the space on my wall thinking, I want to paint something to go there. I want to paint a nest. And I couldn't find it anywhere. Like, I was looking online, looking in stores to find what I wanted, and I couldn't do it. So right away, when she got quiet eventually, I thought, I'm just going to have some art therapy time. And so I painted a nest. And this is how it came out. It was a big, big canvas for the wall. And I discovered something. I just thought I was painting a picture. But what I discovered was that as I began to paint, I could hear God differently. I reflected on my life and my emotions and my struggles, and I brought them to God, and something happened in me. Something was just moving in me. So in this particular painting, the task was so tedious. I don't know, there's so many little lines in a nest. Like, you just have to little by little add to it. But it really made me think of parenting and how tedious and how monotonous parenting is, and how many so little things that you do that no one else sees, but you do them. And then you step back and you look and you say, wow, I created something. I created a space where something can grow, the space of safety. And I was so moved by that process of all the little tedious little lines that created something. And it made me think about, it also, the picture made me think about the crown of thorns, because the nest kind of looked out a little bit pokey. I wasn't intending that, but it worked that way. But then as I was painting, I began to think about, like, how all those little sacrifices that God makes for us over and over again makes a place for us to grow. So this is the painting that came out from there. So for me, the process of making art became very connected and infused with prayer. I came to a canvas with a thought, and then I just explored it and became a conversation with God, and we went deeper and deeper. So it was a full-on spiritual experience, an encounter, an invitation to pause from my life and just go deeper and reflect with God. So how we're able to experience art in our church comes down to what we see the value of art being. So what is the purpose of art? Is art important because of what it can add to the more important things? What it can add to our music or add to our sermon? Typically when we see art, we'll see, like on our walls, we just see a finished product. So often the way we approach art is just how we would approach a product. It's a little bit consumeristic. What can this do for me? How does it speak to me? And we let it speak for a moment, and then we move on. And if this is how we look at art as a church, as a Christian, then that's how we'll approach it. We'll just look to see what can it do for me, and then we'll move on. But my suggestion is that there's an invitation for more here, because art is more than a pretty product, and there's a person behind each piece of art that you see, and in that person there was a creative process happening. And that creative process is valuable. We saw that in Lois this morning. She shared her process. So that's what I want to awaken us to look past a product of art, to see a person and to see a process. So to think about this, we can think about an iceberg, this great piece of beauty, majestic, solid structure. But what we know about icebergs is that they don't look just like this. They usually look like this. 90% of the iceberg is under the water, and just 10% is at the surface. So I would suggest that when we see a creative product, we're only seeing a small little piece of what's happening. But underneath the surface, there's all these things happening in the person, this process that's so valuable to us. And I want to attune our eyes and attune our ears, any kind of creative meeting, to look at the process that's happening. So I'm going to unpack this a little bit. What I was going to say is that there's always a creative process happening, but when we involve God in our creative process, it's just so beautiful and so profound. So one thing that happens in our creative process that I've noticed is that our eyes are opened. So every day there's so much going on us around us all the time that we can't even take it in. It's just part of how our brains function. They just reduce the information so we can get by. But when we decide to take part in something creatively, say you're given a task to draw this cup, you suddenly have to look at it and notice it and look at the details about this particular cup, because it's very different than that cup and very different than the next cup, right? And when you look at a person, you have to look at the person and notice that. So art is a process of noticing, of considering, of paying attention, of pondering. So in being creative, we look at the things that we would normally overlook. Doesn't that sound a little bit biblical? It does to me. Jesus calls us to consider the lilies. Those flowers you just walk by, stop, consider them. Think about them, reflect on them. Consider the sparrows. Consider the outcast. Consider the orphan. Consider the widow. Consider your neighbor. It's an invitation to notice things that we would normally look past. Another thing that happens in our creative process is that we become more present in the moment. When you're creative, you are forced to slow down to actually engage in the thing right in front of you. You become focused directly on something. And studies show that being creative actually slows down your heart rate and slows down your blood pressure. It's actually a stress-reducing thing, hence the coloring book trend, right, that's happening everywhere. So the very act of participating in something creative is healthy. It's healing. Because it brings us to the present, and it brings us to the moment, and it calms us down and slows us down. The process also helps us to be curious. Curiosity. I think about Jesus' call to become like a child. And my children ask a whole lot of questions, especially when you're tucking them into bed and you want to be done for the night, then they're suddenly philosophers. But anyway, they're full of questions, curiosity. So when we are creative, we open up this curiosity in ourselves. And that's my invitation. Bring that curiosity to God. Like Lois said, when she started on her paper, she just had a white paper. She didn't know where she was going, but then she started and she went somewhere. That's what I usually find with my work too. I have an initial thought, but then I just start and then follow the thread. It's just going to keep leading me somewhere. Another thing that happens in our process is that we wrestle. Creativity is not always easy. We often get stuck in the process. There's often a hard part that you have to work through and you have to push through. But it's in this wrestle, these places that we get stuck, that God begins to speak with something new. Just like it makes me think of Jacob wrestling with the angel, right? He has this wrestle and he comes away touched and changed. And so in the creative process, we often encounter this wrestle where we might bring a hard topic to God to question and walk through. But in the wrestle, he's doing something in us and we can come away changed. So in engaging in art for me is like choosing to let the process touch me, that I can come away changed. Another thing in the creative process is that our imagination opens. It enlarges our tent and imagination of what is possible. And this is kingdom imagination. Like what we said, when times are anxious, we shut down our imagination of what can happen, what God can do in our lives, what's possible. But spending time in creativity enlarges that again. We make space to imagine things in new ways. Imagine how God would see things. We make space for something new to happen in our lives, new hope, a new future, creation of new beauty. Another thing in the process is that we find our voice. What I love to learn is that there's not one voice like yours or yours or yours or yours or yours. Like, each of us have something very unique in the way that our circuitry in our brain works, the way we process things, the way we share things, the way we output things. It's so unique. And so when we are creative and share that with one another, we get a bigger picture of who God is, because God's made each one of us. And we get a bigger picture, yeah, of perspective on life. So when you are creative, you find your voice and you find a little bit about you, and then you also hear someone else's voice, and it's beautiful. So all of these things that happen when we create are formational things. And when we embark on these things with a spiritual focus, these are spiritual formational things. So the process of art is an opportunity for spiritual formation. And when we think about art this way, suddenly art is isn't just a special, pretty thing. It becomes an important, essential way of our relationship, of our connecting with God. It's an opportunity for engagement. Has that expanded your vision a little bit? Yeah. Okay. So where do we go from here? So I want to invite you to have more creativity in your life, to make opportunity for it. And we do have some opportunity in the church, what I'm going to speak about. But we're also going to do an exercise together right now this morning. So my helpers, I have Sherry for this section, Dale for this section, and Melody and Michelle are just going to hand out a paper and a pencil and hold on to it till I give you instruction. Okay? But for now, while they're handing things out, I just want you to know that on Facebook we have a creative community page, group. It's private, but if you want to be a part of it and you're on Facebook, just try to find us and we'll accept you in. But it's a place of just sharing what we're finding, what we're learning in our creativity, sharing our products, but also our process. And we're also going to have the second Wednesday of every month, we're going to gather together. So in February, we're going to create together. And that could be if you want to create a poem, or if you want to do an artwork, or if you want to do a song, whatever you want. We're going to meet in the studio space upstairs and just have an evening where we can create and dialogue together and encourage one another on. And then the next month, we're going to do it kind of like a sharing circle, where you can bring something you've created and share it with one another. And then in April, we're hosting the Canadian National Vineyard Conference here about creativity. So that's April 4th to 6th. So you're also invited to that. There will be some fees with that because there's lots of food included and things, but it's beautiful. It's a beautiful time. So these are the dates coming up. Does everyone have a paper yet or not quite? It's coming. Okay. So I'm going to get us dreaming a little bit, and then when you get your paper, we can reflect. So we're going to take a little moment. We always end our service with communion. So I thought, what a fitting way to end our reflection, reflecting on communion. This is an artist on Instagram you also might be interested. His name is Scott the Painter, Scott Erickson, but he is a spiritual director, and he does a bunch of images that are about spiritual formation. So this is one of his. And it's really just the invitation that communion, the wine, and the bread is an invitation to go deeper with God. So that's what we're going to do together this morning. So, you have a paper in front of you. We're going to start off with a little prayer time, just asking God to speak into it. And you are invited to draw, to write a word, to write like just one word if you want. You could do a little acrostic poem if you want. You could do a little journaling. You could do a doodle. Whatever you feel like. Just open up your heart to ask God, what can you show me a little bit deeper about communion this morning? So I'm going to ask you to do that as a silent exercise, just quietly on your own. And then I'll bring us all back together and I'll invite us to go through a couple questions. And then we can share with one another and take communion together. So I'll just start us with prayer. So, God, we thank you that you are a creator, the creator, and that there's something that you want to teach us through creativity this morning. You want to encounter us. You want to open up our minds to new possibilities, a deeper relationship. So just come and speak to us. God, we thank you for your body that is broken for us. We thank you for your blood that has been shed for us. This outward expression of an inward grace. A practice that has bound people together through centuries. That binds us together in hard times. The invitation always waiting. And we ask you to speak, God. What could you speak to us about communion? What gift do you have for us in communion this morning? So just take a moment, sit with God. Remember, it's about a process, not a product. And just begin to write or draw on your paper. And I'll give you a couple minutes. So I just want you to stop now. You might not be done, but it's okay because this is about process. So just take a moment to look at your paper. What do you notice? You can ask God if there's something he wants to highlight out of what you put on your paper. You're in it. I want you to think, were there any feelings that came up in you while you were doing this process? Intimacy? I'm going to get people to share in a moment, but just take, for now, just look at your own piece. Was there anything that surprised you in this process? And then just personally take a moment to thank God for this experience and what he's brought to your mind. Now we're going to take a moment to share a couple corporately, and then you guys can share in groups and then come take communion together. So, Teresa, did you have something?
When they are just in a place of rest, they play, and out of play comes creation. And as I watch them, I just smile upon them and think of how beautiful it is, what comes out of that. And I just could envision God looking down on us and just, when he sees us resting in his love, we get to play. And we get to play, he just loves what comes out of that. He just delights in watching us.
Come and share with us.
Yeah. So this morning, I've got a loud voice. I can carry. Okay. the word came up in tune. In tune with something. I drew the chalice and the bread before it appeared, and I drew steps on either side before I noticed there were steps. Is that in tune or not? Thank you.
Did you want to share something? Maybe one or two more people want to share? Margaret? Okay, Margaret and then Kirby.
In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, that's what came to me. It's a song. Arise and shine. The glory is upon you. It is a song. And also the John chapter 6, verse 56, it says, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." It's awesome. That's what it is.
Yeah. Abiding. Yeah. And Kirby.
But like when I got up this morning, like I got people that came from where I come from up north. Like I'm the black dot here, and it's getting lighter, and all these people, and just like I'm stepping into the light, and these people are it's like a ladder. I'm climbing the ladder, going home, and that's the light right there. What I see, like I'm climbing the ladder, like I'm a little black dot right here on the bottom, and I'm climbing the ladder to the light. And all these people are there in the middle. They're all waiting for me.
Thank you. So I'm going to invite you, because you all have pieces of paper. So gather with someone around you and share the story and receive the beauty of what God is speaking to all these people around you. And then come up and grab communion together. Jeremy made these. So you made these? Jeremy made the bread today, and there's one bun for each person. So there is an abundant, creative bread available for us today, manna for us in this season. So I'll just pray, God, I thank you for meeting us in your creativity, in your bread, and in your body. And I just pray that you would speak, invite us on a journey. And we love you. Amen.